Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Across the board, our attitude is to be the attitude of the Apostle Paul here. God forbid that I should glory in anything except in the cross. If we're going to be proud, which we have an inclination to do, obviously, then let's make sure our pride is directed in the right direction. We're proud of the Lord. We're proud of what He's done for us.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Galatians. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, in a message titled, The Glory of the Cross. Now here's Pastor Brian.
Concerning the things that were gained to me, he says, I count them loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count it all as rubbish. So for Paul, none of this stuff mattered. And listen, this is important to think about because this is the kind of stuff that really everybody is hung up on today, not just back in the first century. These are the kinds of things that people boast in. These are the types of things that people are looking for as their, you know, this is their identity and this is therefore their significance. And we'll look in detail at that in a moment. But again, Paul refused to boast in that. He said, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that also is a really radical statement, especially in that time. It doesn't strike us as radically as it probably should because we're so far removed from the cross in that context. So for us today, after 2,000 years of church history and after becoming very familiar with crosses that are, you know, jewelry or that are symbols of, you know, the Christian faith or a church or something like that, that's when we think of a cross, that's really just what we think of, right? But in Paul's day, the cross was simply an instrument of execution. That's all it was. So if you think about glorying in the cross, this was something that was so just completely out of bounds for what nobody would ever think that you would glory in the cross, or more specifically, that your hope or your confidence would be put in a man that was crucified, because the people that were crucified were criminals. And the cross was such a contemptible way to die. Anybody who died on a cross was just held in extreme contempt, because the cross was reserved for the worst criminals. The Roman statesman Cicero said regarding the cross, he said, let the very name of the cross be far away, not only from the body of a Roman citizen, but even from his thoughts, his eyes, his ears. So here Paul is talking about boasting in the cross, glorying in the cross. Paul is saying, this is where my identity is. This is where my significance is. And that was radical in those days. In his letter to the Corinthians were the intellectuals. They were the Greeks. And Paul writes about the cross to them. He said, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. He said, for the Greeks seek wisdom and the Jews, they're looking for a sign. So the cross to the Jew is a stumbling block, and to the Greek, it's foolishness. So when Paul went about this Greek-influenced world, and remember, the Greeks were the ones who brought us philosophy. When Paul went about that Greek-speaking world talking about the hope of the world, the salvation of the world is based on a guy who died on a cross, a Jew who died on a cross, no less, that was just utterly contemptible to people. And it was so contemptible that even people like these Judaizers who were claiming some sort of allegiance to the cross, they were downplaying the significance of it and they were putting something else above it because they felt the contempt themselves. And so, yes, the cross had a place, but of course they had their own righteousness that they could contribute as well. So when Paul says he boasted, you can see how radical a statement that was. But why did Paul boast in the cross and nothing else? Why did he refuse, even though he had opportunity to boast in a number of different things as we've seen, why did he boast in the cross? Because Paul understood the cross. And when we understand the cross for what it really is, then we will boast in the cross. And we will recognize the folly of boasting in anything else. So what did Paul know? Well, Paul knew what we all need to realize, if we haven't already, that all of the problems in the world are traced back to the issue of sin. All of the problems in the world, from the beginning of time to the end of time, as we look at the world and as people are perplexed and trying to figure out, you know, why things are the way they are and why all the trouble and the misery and the suffering and the wars and whatever else you want to lump in there. Why all of this? Well, the Bible says sin is the problem. And Paul understood that, but he understood that it was the cross that dealt with sin. And so Paul understood that the cross was the answer to all of the problems that human beings face. He understood that the death of Jesus on the cross dealt the death blow to sin. And so all that sin had done to ruin our lives was dealt with at the cross. Paul understood that sin has permeated every aspect of our lives as human beings, that it has affected us physically. Of course, the Bible teaches that disease and ultimately death are connected to sin. The Bible teaches that our inability to see things correctly, spiritual blindness is due to sin. The Bible teaches that our inability to discern between right and wrong, truth and error, the compromising of our conscience and all of that has occurred through sin. And the Bible tells us that our wills are bound up because of sin. And then ultimately, again, sin and death are connected to one another. And so Paul says he's boasting in the cross. That's indirectly what he's saying, right? That he's not going to boast anything but the cross. And he did so, first of all, because he understood that it was through the cross that the enemies of sin and death were overthrown. And when we understand that that's how the human predicament is dealt with, it's not through philosophy, it's not through politics, it's not through whatever other thing that human beings have tried to fix the problem with, it happens through the cross. Paul understood the glory of the cross in that it was the solution to all of man's problems. And ultimately, again, to death as well. I came across a video recently, a video interview of the lead singer for the band U2, Bono. And he's been doing a series. He did an interview with some theologians about the Psalms. He's very interested in the Psalms. And so he's done some interviews with theologians about that, the subject of the Psalms. But I watched this one yesterday, just a little clip, a couple of minutes. And Bono's telling the story of how his mother died when he was 14, how he had this like weight, this sort of shadow, this kind of fear of death that just sort of lingered over his life for many, many years until he came to understand that Christ had dealt with that. And he just tells a story of taking a visit to Jerusalem and going to Golgotha, going to the place where Jesus was crucified. And he said, when I went to the place where death died, the fear, the angst of death just lifted off of me. That's what we're talking about. So Paul is boasting in the cross because it was there at the cross that death was defeated. It was there at the cross that death died. And the power of sin was broken. So our lives do not have to be under the tyranny of sin as they once were. So that's one. Secondly, the cross Paul knew that it was the love of God that was ultimately shown at the cross, or the cross was the place where God's love was ultimately shown. The religion of Jesus Christ is the only religion in the world that clearly presents God as a God of love. Did you know that? It's interesting because religious people will talk about a God of love, but know this, whenever a person who's not a Christian talks about a God of love, they are actually borrowing from the Christian faith, because other religions do not teach that God is love in his very essence, and certainly they don't have any example to point to historically that would prove that God is love. So there's just this assumption by people that God is love. Years ago, I was in Eastern Europe. This is back in the 80s. And it was back when communism and all of that was just sort of beginning to implode. And so these young people had been brought up in a communist system, and their interest in spiritual things had to do with black magic and things of that nature. And I'll never forget having a conversation with one young woman and talking to her about Christ, talking to her about God, and of course talking about the Bible. And she pretty aggressively said to me, you know, don't talk to me about the Bible or God or your God. I don't want to hear that. I don't believe in that God. I just believe in a God of love. That's what she said. And I said, well, where did you ever get the idea that God was love? She said, oh, everybody knows that. I said, well, as a matter of fact, everybody doesn't know that. I said, and as another matter of fact, the only place you can find that God is a God of love is in the Bible that you're telling me not to talk to you about. So, you know, we had a good conversation after that, but that's the truth. And Paul understood that God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Paul saw the cross as the ultimate display of God's love. And it certainly was, wasn't it? Because Jesus said, greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that's what happened at the cross. So Paul understood that. So he's not going to glory in anything but that. Paul also understood that the cross is the means by which we can finally have access to God. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom. That's the cross. He's the one mediator, and he mediates because he paid the price for us to be able to have access to God. And so Paul understood that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The cross is also the place where the God-required righteousness was provided. And Paul understood this, and he wrote extensively about it. But you see, the Bible teaches us that we cannot access God because of our sin. And in order to be in God's presence, you have to have a righteousness. And it's actually a perfect righteousness. The problem is, we don't have a perfect righteousness. So what is the solution? Well, the cross is the solution, because it was at the cross that God made Christ, who knew no sin, to become the sin offering for us, that we might become the righteousness that God requires in him. That's what Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 5. And so again, these are all of the things that the apostle understood. And he also finally understood that the cross is where Satan was defeated. Now, man has basically two problems, sin and Satan. And those two things work hand in hand. Remember, Satan is the one who introduced sin into the human family. Man was created righteous. Man was not originally a sinner. Man was created in fellowship with God. How did sin enter in? It was brought in by the devil, by Satan. But yet, it was at the cross that Satan was finally defeated. Jesus said, just before going to the cross, he said, now the prince of this world is judged. Now the prince of this world is cast out. And then Paul will write to the Colossians later and say that God, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. So when Paul says, God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross, he said that because he understood that the cross, and of course, when we say the cross, we're talking about Christ and his death, that this is the central act of all time. This is the thing that matters, and nothing else in comparison to it matters. This is the turning point for time and eternity. So the false teachers are looking to promote themselves. Ultimately, they're boasting in themselves. They're glorying in themselves. Paul says, God forbid that I should glory except in anything but the cross. The question for us is, where are we? Are we with the Judaizers, or are we with Paul? Are we inclined to boast in our personal attainments, or our, you know, some thing that we are or perceive ourselves to be or have done? Or are we reserving all of our boasting? Because again, we know this, that human nature hasn't changed. These are still the same issues that we face today. Think of it. People are, and when I'm saying glorying here or boasting in, putting your confidence in, the idea is that this is where you derive your significance. This is where you see yourself as, you know, superior to others maybe, or this is the basis upon which you see yourself acceptable to God. What are the things that people are leaning on? The same things they always have been. Ethnicity. Some people see themselves as superior to others ethnically. And sometimes they even translate that over to a mentality that, well, of course, you know, we're the favored race. Of course, the Jews did this, probably more so than anybody. Not exclusively, but they certainly did this. They saw themselves as superior to the Gentiles. The other nations were less acceptable to God in the Jewish mind than they were. So they had put their ethnicity above everything else. And people, of course, do that today. That's still a massive problem all around the world. You know, it's funny to, you know, as you travel and you meet different peoples and so forth, and, you know, sometimes you think this stuff is just sort of maybe limited to your own culture or your kind of experiences, but then you go around and you find that this is just all over the place. You know, you go with one group of people, and because their culture is maybe similar to another group of people across the border, you think that there's some kind of camaraderie or brotherhood, and then you find out, no, actually, these two people hate each other. These two people groups hate each other, and one, of course, thinks they're better than the other. The other thinks they're better than the other. This is just the way the world is, isn't it? So you've got that, race, ethnicity. You've got nationality, which is similar but different. You've got culture. And of course, there are a lot of people that, you know, just culturally, they see themselves as superior to others. Sometimes it has to do with where you live. And, you know, you look at your community and the culture that's there in your community as superior to this other group over here. You know, it's not unknown that we have a cultural elite in our own country, and there are certain people in certain locations that they absolutely despise simply because of where they live and what that stands for culturally. So this is the human condition, right? Education, some people are, because of their education, they see themselves as superior. And in some cases, they translate that over to, well, you know, surely I'm accepted by God because after all, I'm intelligent and I'm educated. And so it's intellect, it's wisdom, sometimes it's talents. People are putting their confidence in their talents. They're putting their confidence in the way they look, their appearance. They look down on other people because they are not seen as being as attractive. Of course, wealth is another huge dividing factor, social status, physical strength. See, these are all the things that people have always put their confidence in and are still doing so today. This isn't a new problem, is it? All the way back in the days of Jeremiah, the Lord spoke through Jeremiah, the prophet, and he said this. He said, "Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories or boasts, let him glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord." See, this thing of human boasting in all the wrong things is a problem from beginning to end. All the way back in the time of Jeremiah, God says, "You want to boast? This is what to boast about. Boast that you know me." That's all that you legitimately can boast about. And that's what Paul's saying. All that he could legitimately boast about, even though there were other things, Paul saw the world through the correct lens. And so he understood that boasting was to only be in Christ. Now, these things are our position, our, you know, financial status, those kinds of things. I mean, you know, they might have some benefit in the present life of giving you certain advantages and so forth. But what we have to understand is none of this means anything to God. You know, God certainly is not impressed with human achievement and those kinds of things. Nobody's going to come before God and say, "Well, you know, Lord, I was the head of a large corporation and I worked my way up and I was the CEO. And by the way, did you see that jet that I used to fly around in? You know, it was pretty impressive. And, you know, a lot of people worked for me. A lot of people, you know, I could just command them to do," you know, that means zilch, means nothing. There's only one thing that matters at the end, and that's Christ and him receiving the glory. God said that his glory would fill the earth. Not my glory, not your glory, not like human glory collectively. So the attitude that is the proper attitude, regardless of our station in life, regardless of our privileges or lack of privilege or whatever else, across the board, our attitude is to be the attitude of the Apostle Paul here. "God forbid that I should glory in anything except in the cross." If we're going to be proud, which we have an inclination to do, obviously, then let's make sure our pride is directed in the right direction. We're proud of the Lord. We're proud of what he's done for us. It's not a pride in ourselves. "God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of Christ." What does this glorying look like? So how do we, how does this present itself? Or how are people gonna know that we're glorying not in ourselves, but in Christ? What are the marks of a person like Paul here? Well, first of all, there is obviously going to be humility. A person who glories in Christ is a person who's humble. It's a person who is not into self-promotion, but is really ultimately just into the promotion of Christ. It's a person whose mentality is, "I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace." Now, I was just talking about, you know, the attitudes of people all around, you know, throughout time and so forth. But let's put this in our own context of Christians. And let's recognize that we are not exempt, obviously, from glorying in the wrong things.
For the month of January, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Spiritual Warfare, Fighting the Good Fight of Faith by Pastor Brian. The book was written to heighten the Christian's awareness of a spiritual battle and its reality in our daily lives. It was also written with the hope of bringing a biblical balance to a vitally important but often misunderstood subject. The book Spiritual Warfare by Pastor Brian Broderson is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. so we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com. And don't forget to visit backtobasicsradio.com, where you can sign up for Pastor Brian's free daily email devotional. Our website again is backtobasicsradio.com. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Galatians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.